Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, praise God. We're back on there once again. This is KSK, KASK radio station. We want to welcome you and God bless you and hear what God has for you. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
the voice in the house and say,
my going, been my time, but still.
Hey, doctor, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dr. Hunter. How are you doing?
I'm blessing you. Amen.
God is good.
All the time. All the time.
Amen.
I'm going to put a lot on your heart, so go for it.
All right. God wanted me to talk about, I believe I've talked to about it once before.
That's
but,
all right.
God want me, he want me to talk about redeeming your time.
That's it.
Redeeming your time.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we just thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For, oh God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And it's in the name of Yeshua that we pray. Amen. Redeeming your time.
Amen.
There's one thing in common God has given to all of us, and that's time. He's given all of us time.
Time.
And we need to make the most of our time, make the most of every opportunity.
That's it, brother.
Make the most of every opportunity. Let's look at Colossians chapter 4.
All right.
Colossians chapter 4. Redeeming the time.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5 says, with all, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. You know, just like this time right now that we have over the airways. Well, this time has been opened up to us by God.
My God.
To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak.
Lord Jesus.
When it comes to the time to speaking God's word, it's not the time to try to be cute. It's the time to make his word clear.
Amen.
It's our job to make his word a plain. Make it so plain that a baby can understand.
Yes.
A little kid, a little child can understand.
Yes.
Verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. There it is right there. Redeeming the time. The message is redeem your time. Now that word redeem in Hebrew is padah.
Pada.
And it means to redeem means to recontrol. Recontrol. Get back control of your time. Take control. Recontrol. It's an intervening action that causes a release from an undesirable condition.
Amen.
It means to ransom. Preserve, to buy back.
That's it.
To reclaim.
Reclaim.
We need to reclaim our time. Time is a limited period during which an action or a process exists or takes place. And God says, I need for you to redeem your time. Recontrol your time. You know, we don't have time just to be doing any and everything.
No.
We need to take control of our time because time is valuable. We need to make the most of every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Genesis chapter 6.
All right.
Genesis chapter 6. And look at verse 3. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man.
Yes.
For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So we have 120 years to do what we need to do. And we need
Amen.
To make the most of our time.
Amen.
God has given us 120 years. We need to make the most of it. We need to make it count for good.
Yes.
We need to be doing something that's helping in building the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make the most of our time. We don't have time to play around.
No, no.
We need to make the most of every opportunity.
Every opportunity.
Psalm 90 and verse 10 says, the days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now that scripture right there was about the children of Israel that were in the wilderness with Moses.
Yes.
Those people at the most were to live the most 80 years old. You
mm-hmm.
see, that was for them. That's not for our people today.
No.
That's not for the children of God today. The 120 is for us, not the 80. The 80 was for those rebellious Israelites who were in the wilderness with Moses.
Yes.
So that doesn't concern us right there.
My God.
We need to make the most of our 120 years.
Yes.
That's what we need to do. Make
yes.
the most of our 120 years that God has given us. Now, some people might not want to live 120 years. But that's on them. I'll meet them in heaven when I get there. You know, some people want to die at 70 and 80. Well, that's all right. God's not going to send you to hell for that. But the Bible clearly tells me in Genesis 6:3, God says that man's days shall be 120 years. I want the maximum. I'm living the maximum.
Yes.
Anyone who wants to go sooner than the 120 years, they can do that. According to Psalms 92, they
Amen.
Can do that. Because the scripture says in Psalms 91, verse 16, that scripture says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So that shows us that you can live until you're satisfied.
My Lord.
The Bible says right there, Psalm 91:16, that he satisfies us of the person with long life. What does that mean? He didn't say he satisfies himself. He said he satisfies who? Us. So that means that he lets us live until we're what? Satisfied.
Satisfied. That's right.
However long you decide that you want to live, be it 80 or be it 120, you need to redeem your time. You need to take control of your time and make the best of every opportunity. And that's what the message is, redeeming your time. In other words, make the best of every opportunity. Make the most every opportunity. Now, how can we do that? Number one, we can do that by taking ownership and control of our time.
Amen.
We need to take ownership and control of our time. Don't let anyone else take ownership and control of your time. You need to take ownership and control of your time. You need to make sure that you're making the most of every opportunity.
Amen.
Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 10 and 11. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. You're not doing anything but what? Sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You're going to be in lack. You're going to be in poverty if you don't take ownership and control of your time. If you're going to sleep it away, you're going to come to poverty.
Amen. That's what the book says.
We need to be doing something. The Bible clearly tells us in Psalm 1 that we need to be doing something. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. How can God bless something that and you're not doing anything?
Amen.
Psalm chapter 1 verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he what? Doeth shall prosper." We can't be sleeping our life away. We got to be doing something for God to bless it.
Yeah.
So we need to take ownership and control of our time. We need to be productive with our time. Of course we need to get our rest. I'm not saying work 24/7. You've got to have your time of rest and recreation. You got to have that time where you get some sleep and you got to eat some good food and get you some rest. And you got to have that time where you do some things to relax, like, you know, go see a movie or go play some ball or go fishing. You got to have a balanced life, but you can't just do all of one and none of the other.
My God.
We got to take ownership and control of our time.
Amen.
Number two, we got to do those things that will help us fulfill our destiny.
My God.
We need to spend time doing those things that will help us fulfill our destiny.
Mm-hmm.
What you are and what you become depends on how you use your time.
Yes.
What you are and what you become depends on how you use your time.
Yeah.
If you're always sitting up under a bridge getting drunk and drinking all the time, well, you're going to become a bum.
That's it.
What you are and what you become depends on how you use your what? Time. If all you do is party all the time, you're going to become a partier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's all you do, see, what you become and how you use your time, you become.
Yes.
What you are and what you become depends on how you use your time.
Amen.
We need to do things that create value in our life.
Yes.
We need to do those things that create value in our life. Like praying, that's creating what? Value in your life.
That's it.
What we're doing right now over the radio, Apostle Hunter, what we're doing right now is creating value in our life.
Yeah.
Studying the Word and teaching and preaching the Word is creating value in your life.
Yeah.
We need to do those things that create value in our life. Meditating in the Word day and night.
Amen.
Doing what the Word says. When we do these things, we're creating what? Value in our life. When we spend time with our families and our loved ones and fellowshipping with our children and our wives and husbands, what are we doing? We're creating value in our life. We need to do those things that create value in our life. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38-42. Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Yeshua into her house. I'm in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now I'm at verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Yeshua's feet and heard his word. Now she's doing something that's creating value in her life. She's sitting at the feet of Yeshua, hearing revelation straight from God, hearing the word of God. But Martha, in verse 40, but Martha was encumbered about much serving. She was in the kitchen, doing some things in the kitchen. And she came to Yeshua and said, "Lord, Doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, tell her therefore, to come and help me in the kitchen. Look at verse 41. And Yeshua answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, are concerned, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Look at that. One thing is needful. This is something that's creating what? Value in her life. Something that's of necessity. Something that is what? Needful. He said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary was sitting at the feet of Yeshua, hearing the word of God. You see, she was doing something that was creating value in life. I'm talking about redeeming our time, redeeming your time. You need to take ownership and control of your time, unless you come to poverty. You need to do those things that will help you fulfill your destiny. You need to do things that create value in life. We need to meditate on the word day and night. Yeah. Meditating on the word day and night, that creates what? Value in life. It creates value in life. Meditate. The scripture says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Observe to do all that is written therein, and then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have what? Good success. You'll create value in your life when you are meditating in God's word and doing his word. We need to do those things that create value in our life. Meditating in his word day and night is one of those things that will create value in our lives. We need to plan, Apostle. We need to make plans. Things just don't happen. We got to plan for things. We got to make plans. Look at Proverbs chapter 16.
Amen.
Things are not just going to happen, poof, pow, like, magic. No, we got to plan for things to happen.
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter 16. And verse 3, got to put it on paper. We got to write it down. We got to plan things out. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord.
Yes.
And thy what? Thoughts. That word thoughts right there in the Hebrew means plans. And thy plans shall be established. Well, before God can establish some plans, we got to have some plans written down. I'm talking about things that we can do to redeem our time.
Yeah.
One thing that we can do to redeem our time is to what? Make plans.
Make plans.
Draw up some plans.
Yeah.
Put some plans on paper.
Yeah.
Number two, we need to get our priorities in order.
Yes.
We want to be a giant in the kingdom of God. We want to be a giant of a person in the kingdom of God, but yet we're putting him last. Well, you're not going to become a giant in God, and you're putting him last. Glory to God.
Glory
the
to
Bible
God.
Says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Seek ye first, not second, third, fourth, last, but seek him what? First. We've got to get our priorities in order. We're talking about redeeming the time. We got to write down plans, make plans. We got to get our priorities in order. We got to pursue our passion. If you have a passion for something, you got to go after it.
Yeah.
You got to pursue it. Just don't sit around and talk about it. Do something about it.
Yeah.
Someone said, just don't talk about it. Be about it.
Be about it.
Just don't talk about it. Be about it. We got to pursue our passions. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Look at that. He pursued his passion. Yeshua's passion was to what? Seek and to save those who are lost. That was and that is his passion. Things that we can do to redeem our time. We need to make plans and write them down. We need to get our priorities in order. We need to pursue our passions. We need to protect our plans and our priorities. You just can't let everybody in on what you're doing because they'll put your plans down. Some people will put your plans down. And you got to protect your plans. You got some people who will try to steal your plans. They'll try to steal your plans. You got to protect your plans and your priorities.
Amen.
Not everybody's going to be in agreement with what you're setting out to do. And they will bring in discouragement if you let them. No, you got to protect your plans. You can't tell everybody what you're doing. You can't let any and everybody in on what you're doing.
No.
You've got to what? Protect your plans.
Yeah.
Some people put their plans in safes. They lock their safes up. Some people put their plans and their notes and their messages in briefcases, and they lock their briefcases up. What are they doing? They're protecting their plans, and they're protecting their priorities. You got to protect them. Everybody's not for you and what you plan on doing. You got to protect your plans so that you don't get discouraged and get talked out of doing what God has placed in your heart to do.
Amen.
Luke chapter 2 and verse 47. Luke chapter 2, verse 47 through 49. You got to protect your plan. Luke chapter 2, verses 47 through 49. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers.
Mm-hmm.
And when they saw him, Yeshua, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? You know, Yeshua had went on about his father's business. He had left his mother and his father behind. Now they've caught up with him, and they're asking him, Yeshua, what's up with that? Why did you take off from us? And look what he says. She said, Behold, our father and I have been looking for you.
Been looking for you, boy.
It's been sorrying. We were in sorrow. And look at verse 49. Look what Yeshua said. And he said unto them, Mama, Daddy, how is it that you sought me? Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I what? Must be about my father's business? Look at that. He was protecting his time. He was protecting his priorities and his plans. He was protecting them. He didn't even let his mother talk him out of being about his father's business.
Oh, no.
You see, we can't let people talk us out of being about our father's business. We got to protect our plans and our priorities. Because if you don't watch it, you'll let people talk you out of doing what God has called you to do. You can't tell everybody what you're setting out or planning to do.
No,
you've got
can't.
To protect your priorities. You've got to protect your plans.
Yes.
I got two more minutes.
Right here.
We're talking about things that we can do that will help redeem our time, that will help us to make the most of our time.
Yes.
Make plans. Write them down.
Get
your priorities in order.
In order.
Pursue your passion. Protect your plans and your priorities. And you've got to identify your value.
Yes.
You've got to identify your value.
Yes.
You got to see what's valuable and recognize what's valuable and then identify that valuable thing that you possess in you.
Yes, Lord.
You've got to identify your value. Don't let your value that God has given you go to waste. You got to what? Identify your value. What do you have to bring to the table?
My God.
What's unique and powerful about you?
Huh.
You got to identify your value. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse 17 and verse 21. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Go down to verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, we got some value in us. And we got to identify that value that's in us. We are a new creature.
My God.
We are a new creature. We're not what we used to be. And we are a value of God because we are in Christ and we are a new creature.
New creature. Hallelujah.
We got to inventory our associations.
Amen.
You just can't hang around everybody and expect to succeed in life.
That's it. That's it.
You can't hang around everybody and expect to succeed in what God has called you and placed in your heart to do.
Amen.
You got to be around those who are going to encourage you and support you and want to say good things about what you're doing.
Amen.
You can't hang around with everybody.
You can't do it.
So you got to take inventory of who you're hanging around with.
That's it.
Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, the Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, if you're hanging around the wrong people, they're going to corrupt you.
That's it.
So you got the inventory your association.
Yes.
And don't try to please everybody.
Yes.
Please the right people.
Yes.
You don't try to please everyone.
No.
You got to try to please certain people.
That's it.
But not everybody.
I know.
And you've got to forget the past. The past. God's doing a new thing. Can't you not see it? Don't you not know it? He's making a way for you.
Yes.
Forget the past. And don't try to please everyone. Please the right ones. Not everyone.
Not everyone.
That's why people say, don't waste my what? Time. That's why you hear people say, have you heard this one? Time is what? Money.
Yes.
You see? They got a hold of something there. They knew that they couldn't waste their what? Time is money.
Yeah.
And time can be wasted. We need to use our time wisely. The scripture says, work while it is what? Day. For the night what? Cometh
when no
man can work. If we're going to do something to build the kingdom of God, we got to do it now.
Now,
redeem your time. Don't waste your time. Make the most of every opportunity. And that's what I had for tonight, Apostle.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. So I would ask you, let's hang on with us. We got the Brother Irvin. Are you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, praise God. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing all. I'm praising God, like the apostle just got through saying. We got to remember, make the best of our time.
Amen. I'd just like to apologize that I've been off the air for a couple of weeks. I've just been busy. I've been on the road, ministering and traveling.
I understand.
Actually, I'd just like to wish you, because I didn't get a chance to, a Happy New Year, and it. And everybody out there, Happy New Year. I pray to God that it will bless each and every one of you.
Happy New Year. Happy
Amen.
New Year.
Well, you know, right now, if I can just do this here real quick, I've been working, of course, you know, with Reinhard Bonnke's stuff, and I just want to remind people out there that February 20th and 21st, he will be at the BBP Stadium in Houston. And it's free. Anybody who wants to come is more than welcome to come. And so I want to get that out there. And also, you know, I've been working. I don't know if you've seen it on my Facebook, but I got the Humble Civic Arena. And I'm putting on a concert there in March 14th. I got bands coming, people coming from all over the world. It's a Healing the Nations concert.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to working on that. I've been working on it for about a month now, quietly, until we got things rocking and rolling, and things are all starting to come together now. And I'm going to pursue more of that as it gets closer. But, you know, right now I was sitting there to listen to the apostle there talking about time. But, you know, God has taken us, if you stop and think about it, I was sitting there posted a thing today, and I said, you know, I said, your journey in life didn't start from the day you were born. Your journey in life started when God thought of you. When he sat there and decided he was going to make you. You know, even in Scripture it says, the Lord says that he knew you before you were formed in the womb. At that point, when he brought you into his existence, in a spiritual existence, in his mind as to who you were going to be and what you were going to be in life. And we've come into a fallen world where Satan has actually come and pretty much stole that from a lot of people. And, you know, we get into a point in our lives where we think about, you know, why is it worth doing this or why is it worth doing that? What are we doing? How come I put this out and then everything falls apart? You know, then we get into the point where we get ahead of God and we start blaming God for things that are going wrong in our lives. Well, you know, God has nothing to do with any of that. A lot of that is our own choices.
Amen.
You know,
we need
to turn back to God and ask him what his plan it was for our life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the beginning and ask God, Lord, you created me, you designed me, you thought of me, and you had a plan for me. Father, what is that plan that you had for me? I've tried everything I can do, and nothing's working. You know, we go back, and it's like I said, it's time. Time is valuable. It's just the only thing in life that man can't reproduce. It's time.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
So as long as we're continuously working against God and his plan for our lives, we're spinning our wheels and actually wasting time. Now, we can redeem time to a degree, but we wouldn't have that joy and the fulfillment of life lasting longer when we're butting heads with the Lord and we're fighting the devil and we're fighting the natural as well as the supernatural, because we're confused. And out of that confusion, you know, there's a lot of negativity, but also there's a lot of positivity. And that sounds redundant, but it is so. Because with a negative charge, it only produces a positive charge. And that's just like if you beat your head up against the wall, you realize that it hurts. That's positive. That's kind of positive. No. So, but in those negative aspects, we learn, and we continue through that negative, till we can turn around to make it a positive in our lives. And a lot of times, I say there's nothing that we can do that we can fail God, because he already knows that we're going to go through a lot of this stuff. I just call it a learning curve. That's all it is. It's just a learning curve. Because He knows that we're going to fall and we stumble. But you know, each time we fall, he's there to pick us up. He knows that we're going to go in one direction, and he'll send somebody to pull us into another direction.
Oh, glory to God.
But with times when we sit there and start fighting that positive flow in our lives, you know, this is what we've got to be critical about. And this is where that point in our lives where we have to sit there and say, Father, you redeemed me. You redeemed my time. You created me. What is your plan? And sit silent and wait and listen. He will tell you. But he wants to know that you know that you're being real and you're not just doing it just to get by to the next day.
Right.
He knows that you're going to say, Lord, what's my plan? And then you sit there and just try to make that $1 million tomorrow morning, and it's not going to happen.
No. No,
but
no.
But he knows.
He knows.
Your heart. And he knows where you're going to be tomorrow because he's already there.
Yeah.
He's already made that step, made that plan to go for you to go in that direction that you want to go in. And he's prepared that way. But you won't know it unless you get real with God and sit there and say, Father, please.
Please.
What is your plan?
Amen.
We cannot sit there and go, Lord, thank you for this day and thank you and for the blessings of that you bestowed upon me, and thank you, Lord, for everything, and thank you for the finances today, thank you for everything that's come, knowing that that is so, because what we speak, we can receive. But in that reality, we still have to focus on the fact, Lord, what is your plan today?
Yeah.
Because I want to walk in your plan. I don't want to walk in my plan, because my plan is only going to get me to the corner, and I'm going to have to wait at the stoplight until it turns green before I can cross the street. Your plan, I don't have to wait for no stoplight, because your plan is a plan that you designed, that you sent for me. We can bypass the stop sign, and we can bypass the stoplight and walk right in to your glory. The truth is, God continuously changes things every day for us, step by step that we take.
Corners.
He makes them straight.
Yes.
He puts the foothills in our path to slow us down so we can be able to observe and to look. And we look upon that foothill, and we just see it as a mountain. We're losing faith in what God has put us into. Because God says he would make our mountains a foothill. We can walk over the foothills.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
he'd take that mountain and push it into the valley so it would be a clear step across the valley where we don't have to go down into the valley, but yet at the same time, God puts the valleys there so we can learn.
Amen.
It's not a punishment. It's nothing to do with stopping us from pursuing our heart's desire. It's nothing to do to stop us from doing anything. It is a place that we have to get in that place with the Lord and be able to seek him justly and seek him with your whole heart and be able to sit there and say, God, what is your plan for me today? Because
that's
you
right.
created me.
That's right.
You had a plan for my life. And that's where he puts you in those valleys. He puts you in those valleys for that particular reason. And you're not wasting time in those valleys, even though time is a very important aspect of our lives, because we want to be at the finish line, but we can't get to the finish line if we don't know the direction.
That's right.
We can't get to the finish line. We can't God will sustain time for us. In those valleys, you realize God will sustain time for us, that we sit in that valley, and when we learn the process of what God wants for us to do in that valley, we'd be able to sit there and see the future. In that valley, we'd be able to sit there and communicate with God, and God will show you the direction. In that valley, God will show you those things. Instead of we sit there in those valleys and we sit there and say, why me, Lord? What's going on? And cry out, and we do everything else, and we get mad at God, and get mad because we're in the valley, and we lose hope, and we lose everything else. God don't want us to do that. He wants us in that valley for a reason, because he wants to talk. He wants to show us. He wants to show us a better direction.
Amen.
He wants to show us that we don't have to climb the mountain. We can walk around the mountain and get to the same place. It might take a day or two longer. But in that path that we walk around that mountain, who do we encounter? Those who will help us. Those who are there, he put in our path that will guide us, will direct us. Those are the ones that God put in the path that will lift us up so we can continue to pursue what we want to do. And so when we get into that mountain, we start climbing that mountain, figuring it might be a shortcut, because we want to go from A to B instead of going from A to D to R to G to Q to C. You know, even Moses' path across the desert wasn't a straight path.
Yeah.
God took him across the desert because he wanted to show him his power. He wanted to show him the things and the people. He wanted to show his mercy and his grace. Those people walked across that desert in the same pair of shoes they left Egypt in for 40 years.
My God.
Mm-hmm. So if God can do that and sustain your time, don't be afraid to walk around that mountain. Don't be afraid to be in that valley. And so you're wasting time. You're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. It's a learning process is where we need to be. We sometimes need to be. Valley, because when we're on the top, we're not listening to anybody. All we are is our own glory and not of the glory of the Lord.
My God.
We need to step back down and walk that personal relationship with God. We need to be able to sit there and walk in that in the faith that he has given us, in the direction that he has given us, in the peace of mind that he has given us, because we ask for that every day.
Yes.
It's receiving it and believing it in your heart and taking it into your heart. And it's holding on to his word. And it's not holding on to something that is not obtainable. It's the devil who comes in and tries to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God put before us. As I said once before, who did the devil first attack? He attacked God on his throne. He got cast out of heaven. He had all his power. He had everything taken away from him. When he realized he could not do what he wanted to do to rise himself above God, he went after God's creation.
Yes.
That's you and me. That's the things of the world. God had a plan for this world. He had a plan for all of us. And Jesus is the one who reconnected it to us if we sit there and believe and follow and trust.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the one that sat there and brought it back into focus if we sit there and start to focus on him. But we start not only to focus on him and not what God has, when we cry out and say, what do you have for me? Let me get this straight. Not that what do you have for me today, God, but what is your plan for me?
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yes.
He's already provided bread for us. He's already provided a way for us. Mm-hmm. He's already provided everything we need for tomorrow. He's provided everything you needed for today. But when you're sitting there and you're looking at your life and you're looking at it in the natural and you're looking at the things of the way and the things are the way around you, and you start blaming God for the bad things and this and that and so on and so forth, you know, that ain't God. That's the devil. We need to turn that around. And how do you do that? Father, what is your plan for me today? Let's sit down and spend some time, Lord, and show me. I'm in the valley, Lord, and I do need help. I need a direction, and you have that direction.
Yes.
And I know through Jesus that we reconnected what you had, what Adam had lost, and what you had put into my life that is mine, that you have given to me, to wake it up inside of me so I can do that what it is of your plan for my life.
Yes.
This is where we need to be and need to understand. This is where we got to, you know, God says as our soul prospers, so do we. And sometimes it's not all money.
All right.
Sometimes, you know, it's not all about money. It's not all about the luxury cars and the big houses. Sometimes it's a very small thing. It might be you might find something that in someone else. You might find a nugget into someone else. God will show you a nugget because of what you're doing, because you're walking courageously. You're walking and pursuing after the Lord and the seeds that you planted on your way. And God will throw you a nugget, and somebody will come up and say, hey, you know what? I listened to your radio show, and I really appreciate what you said the other day because it changed my life. That's a nugget. That is prosperity.
Yeah.
That's prosperity not for you so much as for the kingdom of heaven, but you know what? You get a diamond or an emerald in your crown. You get something from heaven that God will place in your life at a future date just for something like that. That's the prosperity. And a lot of things that what God is speaking about. As your soul prospers, so shall you.
So shall you.
And as we, you know, and what we do diligently with our hands, and we work with our hands, yet God also says that a man is worthy of his hire.
Yes,
that's right.
And anyone who says sit there and cheat a man out of his hire, out of his wage, God even talks about that. Because that's the time that man had dedicated to you or to that person to do you a job, to help you the best he could. That's time lost.
There's
also time dedicated to serving you. And any time that you sit there and serve the Lord, it's not time lost.
No.
Would you serve someone else out of your heart? You know, as long as you're not looking for anything in return, God will multiply that.
Yeah.
And that multiplication and what he provides for is that of your soul, of wisdom. That sometimes is just a new foundation in your life, a new direction, a new purpose. But something, you know, sometimes, like I said, when we're in that valley and we're walking a certain way, God sits there, his plan, he sits there and sits in his valley. You know, you may be able to sit there and just for once listen to me, and I can get you on the right path, on the right direction. And still pursue what it is, the desires of your heart, because I put the desires in your heart, says the Lord.
Said the Lord, amen. Amen.
You know, like I said, there's so many things that's being taught out there that I'm sorry to say it's not biblical, that is being taught in the churches, and we're watching the churches falling apart. We're watching things that's going on. But you know what? As long as you have that personal relationship with the Lord and you stand on that foundation, what God has put into your life, what God has put into your heart, what God has put into your soul, and what God has put into your might.
Yes.
And on that, if you stand and you stand and you stand and God will redeem your time. He will redeem. He will redeem you that all the things that were stolen, all the things that were taken, and everything in your life, He will redeem it for you. But He can't do it unless you let it up and let go and let Him have it. And like I said, if you're in that valley, don't sit there and complain about why you're in the valley, but ask God.
Ask
Father, what is your plan for me today?
What is your plan for me today?
What is your plan that you had desired for me to do when you thought of me in the first place?
Yes.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Yes.
For that thought, Lord, that you had in my life.
Yes.
That why you created me in the first place.
Yes.
Help me see it.
Help me
to understand it. Help me to be what it is you want me to be. What you called me to be. Sometimes it's not being a preacher. Sometimes it's not being an apostle. Sometimes it's not being anything, whatever it is that God wants you to be.
Yes.
As a reason and a purpose for your life, even if it's just as much as to be able to go to one person in your life and say a word that would change their life forever. It might be that you move over and help them up and pick them up and maybe put them under your wing to sit there and guide them and direct them in a path that they pursue, that you don't get anything out of it here, but the nugget and the riches and the glory that what you sowed into that person's life will fulfill the promise of God for both you and the person that you're helping.
Amen.
The time that you spent, just that one moment of time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you
Amen.
Gotta. Amen. Well, I know tonight's been a great night. We've heard God speak to our hearts, and we know that God is still on the throne, and God wants us to redeem the time, and God wants us to take the time that are valuable to us, and to reset our course back with God. Many times you can ask a question, but there are a lot of folks that will want to know something, but they won't ask the right question because they want to know what's in it for me. Amen. So I've had a lot of people say, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Am I right or wrong?
You're right. It's not about what's in it for me. That's why I said the only thing that's in it for you is what God says, is as your soul prospers, so do you. And you can't let your soul prosper if you're all the time looking what it is for you. You have to give up and give it to others so that your soul can prosper.
Amen. And you know, one of the things I will say tonight is I thank God for both of you ministers on the line with me. But I would tell us a little bit more about what is Monkey's going to do. Tell everybody so they can know it. Go ahead.
What's that?
Going to do. Tell us what Bunker. What's his name? Reinhard Bunker?
Oh, Reinhard Bunker?
Yeah, Reinhard Bunker.
Yeah. He's doing a crusade across the U.S. God called him out of Africa. He's been there 30 some years of his ministry. He's had, I think at this point, is 79 million. People he brought to the Lord in Africa, counting. And he was about ready to retire, and God says, no, so you need to go to America. So he's come to America, and he's already been in Miami. He's been up in North Carolina. I think he was in Wisconsin. Now he's about ready to do here, like I said, at the soccer new soccer stadium downtown Houston, February 20 and 21st. And it's in the evening, I think at 7 o'clock. It's free. Anybody who wants to go, you know, and if you're saved, that's fine. Send somebody, take somebody with you that's not saved, and we pray that God will, that they will hear the word and maybe give their lives to the Lord, you know, because a revival is good for all of us, and
yes.
And reach out and outreaches, you know, is good for all of us, because sometimes it empowers us, and sometimes we get a word, sometimes we get whatever else, but you know, the main thing is to reach out and touch the unsaved. To touch the unsaved, to bring them to the Lord, to be able to understand and see, you know. Not saying that those who are saved are not going to get a word, are not going to get a rhema word out of it, or, you know, or anything like that. But the real thing is, if you have a friend, a brother or sister or mother or father or uncle, whoever is not saved, invite them. Take them with you.
Amen.
Take them with you.
Amen. Well, I ask you to go ahead and close us out in prayer for this great night. We're looking forward to being back next week in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. So go ahead and close us out tonight, brother.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you right now for this day, Lord, that we come into your presence, Lord, and the things that we've done today, Lord. I pray for anyone right now, Lord, that's had a mishap in their lives, Lord, that are doubting, that they have anything in their lives, Lord, that's coming against them, Lord, that you begin to reveal to them right now, Lord, in their lives, that the truth of your word, that will prosper in their lives, Lord, and that the devil is there to steal and kill and destroy. And if they're in that valley, Lord, that they be able to sit quietly, Lord, and just hear and wait for your word, that prompt that you promised them, that what you redeemed of their time, Lord, for the things that you created them for in the first place, Father, that you begin to work into their lives. Father, I ask right now for anyone who has not been saved, Lord, that's listening to this program, that they would give their lives to you, Lord. Jesus, I ask that you would come into their lives, Lord. As they ask, Lord, right now, maybe they're scared, maybe they're frustrated, maybe whatever reason it is, it's time to give it up and just give it to the Lord. Ask Jesus to come into your life right now. And we ask that anyone who receives Jesus, that you will send those angels, you will send those saints, anyone, to sit there and begin to and touch them. Thank you, Lord, for tomorrow. We thank you. I know you don't promise us tomorrow, Lord, but I'm praying, Lord, that for anyone who's stepping out, Lord, that you be with them and you will direct them, guide them, keep your hand upon them, keep them safe, Lord, coming and going. Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you've done in our lives, for the creation that you've created in us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that it will come alive in each and every one, Lord. And we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, until next week. God bless you.
God bless.
Shalom.
God bless.
Shalom. Amen.
Amen. God bless.
Be blessed. Amen.